Hey, this is Daryl Morris, listening to Bobcat Radio, KTSW, San Marcos.
And welcome back to Bobcat Radio, ladies and gentlemen, the Monday edition, refreshing you from the weekend. A lot of action going on again. We talked about softball action. We're in the middle of talking about baseball. Jason Harris here, Matthew Himmel, Jason Weir on a Monday morning here. Game 3, again, was much like Game 1 and Game 2. A little bit closer, though. 9-6, Bobcats fall to the Troy Trojans in the final game of the series. Jeremy Hollenquist did not have a good day for the Sunday start. Only made it a 1 1/3 innings. Gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 strikeout, 1 walk. Took the loss for that one as well. Blake Witter pitched out of the pen. Pitched quite a while, too. 5 innings. Did give up 3 runs on 4 hits. 4 strikeouts, 1 walk for Witter. Again, one of the better arms out of the Bobcat bullpen. Pasquale Mazzaccoli, though, looked pretty good in 1 1/3 relief innings. No runs, no hits. 1 strikeout for him. Nice to see that. The bats were going a little bit more for the Bobcats. 2 hits apiece for Geisler, Valeris, and Hoffman. Nice to see Teddy Hoffman getting in the action as well. Granger Studdard, of course, went yard again. That's no surprise for him. Home run number 9 for Studdard. But once again, left on base for the Bobcats. 8 base runners left on for the Bobcats. Again, can't do that. And then Troy, again, we saw the Hallquist thing. Troy had 4 home runs in this game. And it's hard to come back from 1 home run, 2 home runs. But 4 home runs, rough action there for the Bobcats. So, after the falling to the Troy Trojans in 3 straight games, that leaves the Bobcats at 18-24-1 on the year. They are 10-11 in the Sun Belt Conference right now, currently sitting 7th. The UALR has 1 less loss, so they're sitting in the 6th spot right now. Below Texas State is UL Monroe at 8-13, so still a little bit of variation there for the Bobcats, currently sitting at 7th place in the Sun Belt Conference. Still plenty of time for them to catch UALR right above them, and possibly Troy, who sits at 13-8 in the conference right now. But they've got to turn around quickly. There is quite a few games of this baseball season left. It goes well into the summer, but you never want to get swept, and A, you just never want to get swept by somebody in your own conference as well. All right, guys, I alluded to it a little bit. I asked the questions for Trevor, my co-host, on Friday about the just positional breakdowns for the Bobcats here. If there is a position that is worrying you the most right now on this baseball team, where would you take a look at?
I'm taking a look at the pitchers, personally. I don't really see much of a problem in our offense. I really think Granger Danger is going to, you know, be a solid piece for us moving forward these next couple of years. I believe he's a sophomore. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Sophomore. Yeah, I thought so. And I think that our offense definitely, just as far as getting on base, in my personal opinion, I think that we're solid on that. I think the pitching, though, for us, probably is the biggest thing. I remember when I was watching you and Trevor actually a couple months ago. We were playing. Was it East Michigan? Is that right? I forget.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, and I remember I believe it was Scott Grist who's pitching, and then like we just pulled him, and then we ended up losing this game. Like when we pulled him, we were winning like 3-0, and then we ended up losing the game like 13-3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. I don't know. I really feel like pitching is the probably the sketchiest part of our football team, to kind of put it bluntly, I suppose. That's the part I'm looking at. I don't know.
I could agree with you on that. Matt, would you agree on that one? Is there any other shakiness you're seeing around here?
Yeah, the starting pitching, you know, sometimes I have my concerns. In the bullpen, you don't know what you're going to get. Some nights they're going to be lights out. I do think it was impressive what Blake Whittier to come in and pitch 5 innings out of the bullpen, and it's pretty much a starting role, you know, but he came in, he got the job done for the most part. He stopped the bleeding. But what I want to know is what the Bobcats are going to do about the catcher, first base, you know, sort of thing we got going on. There's Tanner Hill, and he's definitely a powerhouse behind the bat, but defensively you get some questions raised, you know, but it's a matter of, is the, you know, the next guy up in the catcher position, is he better with the pitchers? You know, who plays first base better? And, you know, you've got Granger Studdard, you know, he's playing outfield, he sometimes plays first base. You know, where are we going to get some consistency here? Where can people feel comfortable? And where are we going to maximize our offense and our defense when it comes to those 3 spots?
I agree. I could agree. All right, let's do some positiveness here. So throw some positive action going on. If there's a position on this team you are just not worried about, it's locked into place, you love it, you know what you're going to get every single time, what position are you looking at to be just utterly happy about for the Bobcats?
Improvisation here, if you will. I've got to say, probably the 3rd or 4th spot in the lineup. They've been relatively good this year. Mm-hmm. The people in front of them have been getting on base. Whoever it is, you know, these batting lineups change pretty frequently. I think the third and fourth place hitters, they've been doing a pretty solid job this season.
For me personally, it's Granger Studdard, again, usually hitting in that four spot right behind Pias there. And he hasn't been moved around a little bit. You know, he played left field a whole lot. He played first base every now and then, just kind of testing him out there. But I really feel like he's found himself a home out there in left field. And I feel like if in a pinch he could play first base for you if you wanted him to. But just the fact that he gets more games out there in left field, feels more comfortable defensively out there. And then, again, just only as a sophomore, I feel only can benefit him as he moves forward and grows as an outfielder and as a hitter as well.
Well, I mean, the one thing I'll always remember is just showing up for that Baylor game to start out that series when we swept Baylor, the first game in San Marcos here, just like showing up in the sixth inning and then just watching us just kind of lose the lead and then get it back and then have Granger sort of hit that walk-off. I remember just being like, who is this guy? Like, Granger didn't. That's what he's all about.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that that's the bright spot for our team, and he is, you know, definitely the I would go as far as say he's like the workhorse of our offense, especially in the last couple months. And so that's what I'm looking at, too, for sure.
I agree with you there. All right, again, coming up for the Bobcats next in a midweek matchup this Tuesday, they do take on Texas A&M in College Station. Texas A&M, the number one team or the number two team in the nation, depending on which poll you're looking at. Tough game there coming off with LSU last week, but this is going to be a very tough matchup for the Bobcats. But tune in right here on on KTSW. You can hear that Texas A&M game here on KTSW, and then after that, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're traveling to Atlanta, Georgia, to take on the Georgia State Panthers in a Sun Belt Conference matchup, very important matchup for the Bobcats. They want to wish Coach Fikoch and the Bobcats all the luck in that one. And then, hey, a quick look ahead as well. Next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, they travel back to Austin to once again to take on them Longhorns, try and snap that 21-game losing streak against the Horns. I think it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. I think just call me crazy, and I know I am, but I think it's going to happen.
We owe them one, you know, after that baloney. What was it, March?
The ninth inning. Oh god, that was rough. And then going into Austin, getting two runs early, and then giving them three runs right back. Hey, we're not going to talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. That's negativity. That's in the past. We're going to knock it out. And then come next Tuesday, we will take down those dirty, dirty Longhorns from Austin, Texas.
Yep, an I-35 rivalry, so to speak. That's the way half of us feel, anyway.
Yeah. 75%. Let's crank it up, 75%. So it is my first time on a Monday, but I hear there's a tradition on this show. It's a soccer-based sometimes show we like to get in here.
No, you see people walking around this place wearing Bayern Munich hats and Real Madrid jerseys and everything, and those people, we're about getting up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday to watch a sport that's just not as popular over here. But I love coming in on Monday, talking about some of that, you know, and I work late at nights, and I'll still wake up like 5 hours later to watch a good football match.
All right. Well, give us an update. What was going on over the weekend?
Well, over the weekend, Bayern Munich, they have all but sealed up the Bundesliga. Wolfsburg, second place team, they lost. And Bayern Munich, you know, based on the mathematics of everything, they've won their 25th Bundesliga, once again dominating Germany. They are in the semifinals, of the UEFA Champions League. And they're going up against Barcelona next. So you got Bayern Munich and Barcelona going up against each other in the UEFA Champions League. I'm like,
big
grinding
matchup.
My teeth about that.
I'm not a soccer fan, and I know that's a big matchup.
Yeah, pretty much everyone on those teams, they're a national player, international player. They're on some amazing team, like, phenomenal. In England, Chelsea, they have all but sealed the Barclays Premier League. They had a 0-0 draw against Arsenal. They have just been grinding out results in order to secure points. And they are now taking first place in the Barclays Premier League. You know, they're 10 points ahead of the second place Manchester City, but there just aren't enough games for Manchester City to cover the ground. They're pretty much going to win the Premier League and all the accolades that go with it. It's the hardest soccer league to win,
gotcha,
in my opinion, in the world. So there's that. And what else? I believe you had a question you wanted to ask.
I did. You know, international, I guess we can call him a superstar, Cristiano Ronaldo, has come out and said, hey, you know, I want to play for MLS, the USA, our league, here in 2 or 3 years. You know, he's going to be 32, 33. That's not all that big a deal to me. As a soccer fan, you know, that you know, you avidly watch it, and again, you're up at 6 a.m. That's ridiculous to me, but hey, yeah. you do you, brother. How big a deal would this be for MLS if he's able to come over? I know Beckham came over a few years ago, and that was just huge. A lot of hubbub went around. Not sure how his career or anything like that. But is this likened to Beckham? Is this bigger than Beckham?
I didn't know that Los Angeles had a team until I found out Beckham was going to play for their team. And then I was like, oh, America has a soccer league. Wow. But, you know, the league itself is expanding. They've added two teams this year.
Yeah,
New York City Football Club and Orlando City Soccer Club. They're getting bigger. You know, they're growing their own stars. I forget the name of the guy. He took an amazing free kick for the U.S. national team. I believe he plays for Orlando. He went crazy on Twitter just because of a free kick.
Yeah.
So people are definitely watching. Personally, though, I think Ronaldo is going to do the Beckham route in that he can go wherever he wants from here. And Beckham went, you know, he went to AC Milan. He went to Real Madrid. He played in Paris as well for Paris Saint-Germain. And, you know, he just went everywhere. And then finally was like, okay, I'll go to America and live in California with the greatest weather.
In my $50 million mansion.
Exactly. And I think Ronaldo's going to do the same thing. I think he has to go back to Old Trafford and play for Manchester United for a season just to pay his respects. It was Old Trafford, Manchester United. They developed him into what he is today. They put him on the map. He was a pimply, like, 17-year-old when he started, and now he's the, you know, Bowflex Superman, like, icon that he is.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, so I think he definitely has to go back, pay his homage to Old Trafford, and then, you know, the world is his oyster. He could do the same thing, just bounce around and then wind up in America. In California.
And just retire.
Yeah.
But that'd be nice, man.
I don't know if they'll have water by the time.
Oh, that's,
you know,
true.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a good soccer pitch either, because you can't sprinkle it during the daytime.
Maybe playing dirt soccer in California before it's all said and done. As just a casual fan, I'm excited to see that again, you know, whenever it happens. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But
in the meantime, you'll have Stevie G.
Yeah.
Liverpool legend.
Coming over?
Yeah, he's coming over. He'll be playing for the LA Galaxy. You know, I don't know if, you know, it's a shame. I really wish I knew more about the MLS. I just don't. You know, all I know is that Thierry Henry played for the Red Bulls. I think Roy Keane's still kicking it for the Galaxy.
And as long as, like, those bigger names can continue to funnel into MLS,
exactly. It generates interest.
People have to turn. I mean, like, you follow this player for their years, and even though they may not be playing for, you know, the major club, what it is, but you're still going to love that player, and you're still going to follow him. Like, as a baseball fan, if Derek Jeter went somewhere to, like, an indie league or somewhere like that, I would be watching him, you know, just because I want to see him that way. So it's exciting for MLS to get those players in here and potentially get some more eyes and, you know, some more cash coming on in as well.
Oh, yeah. Merchandising.
All right. Let's kick it over to the NBA, bring it on back to the United States playoff action going on. A lot of Texas teams going at it. Two teams in particular, the Rockets versus the Mavs. Last night, game 4, 121-109, the Mavs trying to pull themselves back into this series with a win over the Rockets. Chippy game. These teams do not like each other. I mean, just a few hours away, obviously they're battling for bragging rights here in Texas, and Spurs fans, we'll get to you. Don't worry about it. It looked like the Rockets were trying to pull it back. You know, they were down by 24. They brought it to 9 at one point in the third, fourth quarter. But the Mavs were just too killer on the boards. And they were second-chance points were killing the Rockets. Plus, they just couldn't shoot the ball for about two quarters in the second and third.
And that's what happens when James Harden goes 1-for-7 from...
Oh.
You're not going to see that very often. That's just a thing that's not going to happen. And so you're going to look at that. First of all, you know, Rondo being out, our offense has looked a lot better. I think everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
Too. And then Monte's had a couple of really killer games for the Mavericks. But, you know, ultimately, if somebody had told me before the series started that Rondo would not be playing and Chandler Parsons was going to be gone, that it was, you know, I would not have expected us to win this series, not whatsoever. And so because of that, I know we're not going to win, but it certainly makes it more exciting. We might steal another one in Houston. We might not. It might end in 5 games. I'm not sure. But it was definitely an exciting game for the Mavericks, and I'm just happy that we didn't get swept. That's the only thing I'm happy about as a Mavericks fan, a lifelong Mavericks fan. But at the same time, I give James Harden and Dwight Howard their respect. You know, Kevin McHale certainly. You know, this is just a really great basketball team we're playing against right now.
Yeah, I think, I do think Dallas, if they can do what they did last night, they do have a chance to steal one in Houston. But I expect a much more focused Rockets team. We've seen what they can do at home. Would not surprise me to see the Rockets end it in Game 5. And I believe it's on Tuesday as well.
Oh, I was just going to say, shout out to Monte Ellis. I've always thought he's been a great scorer on bad teams. You know, and he was the original Splash Brother alongside Steph Curry. A lot of people don't remember those days. Steph Curry, Monte Ellis. I can't remember who the coach was at the time, but, you know, that was an exciting period in Golden State, even though they were terrible. and
look what they're doing now.
And, yeah, look at those guys now. Monte Ellis, you know, he had 32 points in game three, that really crushing loss for the Mavericks. But to come back in game four, making spectacular plays. I mean, scoring in ways that were just like, you know, he was like, Harden, I'm a scorer too. Let me show you how I do it, you know. And I think that's an interesting, like, back and forth. I don't know if they necessarily guard each other all the time. And I know Dallas had put Aminu on Harden for much of that game.
And he was having problems.
Yeah, Aminu, a big athletic guy. And I believe it was you who alluded to it earlier, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago. Rick Carlisle, he just knows how to coach. And he's like, Aminu, you're a big, athletic, fast guy. Just annoy James Harden. Get him off of his game. You know, if he can't do it, the Rockets will struggle, and we'll be able to take one of these games. You know, we got to do something different in order to not get swept. And Rick Carlisle figured it out. Now they got a game back.
Yeah, I give it props to him, and just an all around showing again. Dirk, being Dirk, he's just hitting those ridiculous shots. Like how do you make those shots? The one it just turns around, doesn't look off one foot, and it doesn't hit anything but the bottom of the net. Like there's nothing you can do to defend that.
And Dirk, he is Paul Pierce right now. Both of these guys, they're at the tail end of their career. They have almost no athleticism left, but they're still able to put up 20 points because they can get open shots. They can hit big shots in clutch time. It's just weird seeing these parallel careers. But, yeah, Dirk, he has nothing left, like, athletically. He can't really play defense at all, but he's still able to make big plays for the Mavericks.
He can score.
Yeah, that's all you need.
All right, guys, so we're coming up against a break here right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Spurs-Clippers game, game four. Very, very exciting game between the Spurs and the Clippers. And then we'll go down the list of the other series as well. A couple of series have already wrapped up. Again, brooms out in this show, as we mentioned a little bit before. And then towards the end of the show, if we've got any time left, we'll talk some Major League Baseball, and then I've got a couple of little other rinky-dink stories we may throw in just to get a few other opinions on here. But before we hit that break, Matthew's got a little something for us else as well.
Oh, yes. Tonight, 8 o'clock, you're interested in listening to something groovy, you know. It's the end of a Monday.
I do like groovy.
Yeah, Mondays can be rough, and you need some nice, groovy, chilled-out music to listen to. So you should join our own Allison Johnson on the show, Rare Groove. It'll be up tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on KTSW, where she will explore sub-genres, Motown, R&B, jazz, you know, exploring a lot of crazy music that people who like music will get a kick out of. And if you need any more information, you can go to ktsw.net. You know what's coming up next. You know that we're Bobcat Radio. Keep it tuned in, KTSW 89.9.